Yeah. Everybody side, please, let's begin. I want to compare today, discuss and compare three different food items on Pesach. Item number one is kidneys. Okay, there are many people who do not eat on Pesach kidneys. Okay, whoever they may be, okay, let's not assign it's not Ashkenazim b'derech klal they're a little more machmir, not necessarily. Sfardim were never makabel the chumrah of eating food products of kidneys. What are kidneys? We'll discuss that in a moment. That's one concept. Second concept is gebrochst. There are many people that will not, we call matzah shiruya. That after we have matzah, to take the matzah and to soak it in your, put into your soup, or to make matzah meal. To take the matzah, to grind it up, to produce what would look like a flour, and then to produce some type of product. To soak matzah in water. And the third food is machine matzah. Okay, there are people, not me, but there are people that will not eat, at least for the Seder, they will not eat machine matzah. Three different, let's look at these three different products. Three different types of kidneys, gebrochst, and matzah shiruya. And, especially...
Rice.
What?
Rice.
That's kidneys. Rice is included in the category of kidneys.
And non-shmura.
And, well, non-shmura, no, non-shmura, what do you mean? Non-shmura matzah?
They just eat the Akimina matzahs.
They're not been... Every matzah, there's no such thing as not shmura matzah. All matzah today... Every single matzah for matzah's mitzvah is shmura. The question is, from what point in time is it shmura? Here, Rabbi Sai, please. Every matzah... For Lel Pesach, Matzah Smitzah, the Matzah of the night of the Seder, it must be Shmur. It's a pasuk in the Torah, Ushemartem es HaMatzahs. It's a Gezeres HaKosef, Ushemartem es HaMatzahs. The question is, you have to look at the box. You look at the box of your Matzah, it will say Shmura Mishas. That's the question. Ketzir is a Chumrah. Who says it has to be Shmur Mishas? Because you have to pay a lot of money for that, to have someone guard the matzah, the grain, from the time they harvest it. They harvest the matzah in the summertime, early summertime. They harvest them and they harvest the grain. Who's going to sit and pay a guardian to watch it? What kind of, it's like glatt kosher. There's a lot of different types of glatt. There's glatt, Beis Yosef glatt, even Beis Yosef glatt, there are many different versions. And I always tell you, this I heard from the kashrus agencies, when you go to a chasina and they serve meat, it's usually not likely that you would have bought that meat in a store yourself. You go to a dinner where they're serving 1,000 portions of meat, a big dinner for a big institution, how in the world do they just have on demand 1,000 portions of very expensive meat? And it's glatt kosher.
No, nowadays it's even Beis Yosef. So they used to be so hard to get Beis Yosef, and now suddenly there's enough Beis Yosef to go mean a large part of the community want Beis Yosef, and there's enough Beis Yosef.
All of a sudden, obviously, someone's fudging the numbers. Okay, there's something going
That's
on.
That's not the big question. Thing? Is how do they find so many tongues?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, I want it. That's true, but not true, because the first thing you check, that was the first week I ever worked in the meat business, they told me when the guy calls you to tell you how many animals, you're supposed to say how many tongues. And if it doesn't match, nothing comes into the plant.
Wow. Ask some questions. Go. You'll be very disturbed what you're gonna hear. There are a lot of things that go on, and people just look the other way. Ad hayoyim hazeh. Usually, it's very interesting. Usually, what you buy retail, what you buy in Gladmart, what you buy in Moshe's, what you buy in Pomegranate, usually that's the highest quality you can possibly get, because the best. If I remember, that's the correct. When you buy in the retail stores, you buy retail and you pay top dollar, usually that stuff is the most kosher you can possibly get.
What do you mean?
I mean they're not fudging numbers. They're not.
Oh no! But don't say quality.
I'm talking about quality of kashrus.
Yeah, kashrus quality. Yeah.
If you go to
what happens in the store. if they're trabering the meat. Glatmar trabers his own meat, depending on what it, before Pesach.
Before trabering, I'm not talking about chalef. I'm talking about shchita.
The butchers, he'll traber it.
I'm talking about trefus. I'm talking about siuchus.
There's different shchitas on what you have to traber.
I'm not talking about trabering. I'm talking about the shchita. When you do a shchita and there are siuchus.
Right.
The percentage of animals that are clean like a whistle are right. So few, are so low. You wouldn't believe what the percentage is. So everything goes by, but in different madrigas. To have something that's called Beis Yosef Glat Mamish.
I'll just tell you one sentence. We had from one of the shkitas that from Muncie, this big rebbe, he oversaw his own shkita and they sent it into us for processing. And he would tell us to tell one of the people, you know, the animals were numbered like 1 to 30, let's say, there in his shechita. And he would say, put on the tag number 4, number 8, number 12, number 16 are, they're all marked glot. He said, mark it real glot. Because they were really kosher.
Let's go further. Let's take a step out. There are three different, let's talk about three different types of products on Pesach. Kidneys. You have a product that has rice, a product that has all different types of millet. Corn syrup is not so similar. It's corn syrup. See, that there might be even a leniency. Let's ask corn, actual corn. Talk about products that have real kidneys. These are we consider. Peas and beans, the real deal, real kidneys, a product has kidneys. There are many people that will not eat it on Pesach. Why not? We'll discuss that in a moment. Why not? We'll come to that in a moment. And then let's discuss another product that's made from matzah meal. Matzah shiruya, shmur matzah. And it was ground to smithereens and into flour. And then that flour was mixed with water to produce a cake or some type of product called gebrox. And then we have Lel Pesach, we have Mishin matzah. Manischewitz, what are all the famous brands? The famous brands are Streitz, Hadad. Today there are a million brands, a whole 100 brands of Mishin Matzah and Mishin Matzah. So some people also, you know, for the Lel Pesach Matzah Mitzah, it's a tremendous chumrah because the Gedolei Yisrael all held its kosher. Put it a moment, they'll not eat. I just wanted to talk in general. Is there a difference in the severity, the people who, let's say, you're not eating any of these things? Big machmir. I'm not eating the brox, I'm not eating kidneys, and I'm not going to have Mishima, the Lil Seder. It's the Lil Seder, we're not having Mishimasa, we're not having the brox, and we're not having kidneys. Is there a difference in halacha between the three? Yes, very important to appreciate this point. The Indian of Matzah Shuruya, was a takana. It was a takana I don't know if it was the Goinim, it was the Rishonim. There was mamish a takana not to eat matzah shuriya, not to take matzah and to mix it with water. It was a takana. Not everyone was mekabel this takana. Not everyone held that the takana applies bisman hazeh. There are many ways out of it. There are many ways you can swivel your way out of this stuff. But there were communities where there was a takana, which came from a bezdin. A bezdin sat down and said, osur. Then, gebroxed, there's no takana. No time was there ever in the history of Jewish people a takana not to eat kidneys. Not eating kidneys was a minhag that was accepted by communities. It was never established as this is a takana of the rabbis. It's not a takana that goes back time of the Gemara, time of the.
There was no kidneys until 1492.
Right, it was a minhag. I will explain one. Mishin matzah, that's not even a minhag.
Right.
You can't even call that a minhag because mishin matzah is a relatively new thing. What is it? 200 years? How old is mishin matzah? 150 years, whatever it is. It's not such an old thing. Mishin matzah is a modern day shayla. It's not modern anymore because it's been around for a long time. Fine. It's a halachic issue. Okay, let's discuss one of the issues, then we'll come back to this. Let's discuss this mishin matzah. What is the main issue with mishin matzah? When mishin matzah first was invented, it was a horror. It was a disaster. The technology was primitive. And And although it was successful in producing large amounts of matzah in a very short period of time and with very little effort, without hard work, but the machines were primitive. The machines broke. The machines were large, and clumps of dough got stuck in all the wrong places, and it was almost impossible to properly clean without shutting down the whole process and without damaging the equipment. And in the process, some of the garbage that got stuck in the machine would come back out into the dough and make all the matzahs chametz. So that was the original problem. When machine matzah, the shoes from my great-grandfather, Beis Yitzchak, you know, they all these different issues. The main big problem with machine matzah was it was mamash chametz, because the technology was not up to par. It was not above, was not good. Today, hands down, almost everyone will tell you that the machine, no one's going to argue on this point. The machine matzah halachically midin chametz is more kosher than any hand matzah. The machine matzahs are the technology is so advanced. They put into this industry so many millions of dollars in such advanced technology. There's no possibility in the world of halacha the machine matzah is chametz. It is clean as a whistle. The way it is done is beyond belief. You get a view. They have videos, and you go. I don't know if you'd like to come watch live, but there are videos, and people who work in the kashrus agency are blown away how much better, more mechuder, the situation is in eating machine matzah versus eating hand matzah. I once went to watch them bake hand matzahs. A few times I went. I was very disappointed. I really was very surprised. I thought, how could it be in this generation? You know, everything is so, you know, but I was very surprised. You know, things are not so ay ay ay. Okay, there are better places. I saw a video, really, really impressed. After seeing what goes on in some places, I was not so impressed. I saw a video of a hand machine mats in Lakewood. Okay, they don't have the chassardis, they don't have their Lakewood. It's now to have, you know, the oven, the brick ovens with coal. Today, unfortunately, all of the new hand matzah factories are all gas. Maybe some are electric, I don't know, but a lot of them are gas. And
they use wood.
What, these wood? No, they're using coal. Those are the old ones. Those are the good ones. Shatza matzah use coal. Coal. They use coal.
Coal, not wood?
No, coal. You see deliveries. They come these big machines. The environmentalists go out of their mind. The amount of carbon emissions that come out of shatza matzah, you wouldn't believe it. It's not so posh. It's dangerous. That's why they have to have these massive, massively high chimneys. It's not so posh to pollute Kensington. To pollute Kensington with carbon monoxide. They're operating there from Hanukkah.
Stay there and watch your own house and don't buy the.
What?
Don't buy the shots of just off the rack.
You don't like what you see? You don't like what you see? Ooh,
you're saying.
Shots of matzah tastes delicious. Why? Not because they're using brick ovens and they're using coal as their fuel. These ovens are like over 100 years, who knows how old, and they're grandfathered in. They're grandfathered for when they were made for religious reasons, and the government cannot shut them down. If they were to try to build a matzah factory like that anywhere in New York City, they would never get a permit, and someone would dare try to do this, they would be put in jail before they blink. Because the amount of carbon monoxide emissions is off the charts. Off the charts. And people are really concerned. You know,
it's not a religious issue.
No, not a religious issue, but that's why it tastes so good. That's why it tastes so good. And people are really legitimately, they start baking matzah at least Hanukkah time, 24/7, they're operating. And it's a densely populated neighborhood, Kensington. It's in Kensington. And out of that chimney is shooting toxins. Okay, so you say big deal, you know. No, it's not so simple. It's not so simple. So today, that's what makes it taste good. That's what makes it taste delicious. Because they're using coal and they're using these very old ovens which have some quality to them. Today, you can't do that anymore. Impossible. Today, you want to make a matzah factory.
Same thing with deli. What do we got? We had brick, when brick we were up. On the east side, we had the brick ovens.
Today you can't do this. Today,
now everything is stainless steel.
You have to have a stainless steel oven, yeah. And they have gas, they have gas or electric, and the bills are also off the charts, what it costs to operate the gas and the electric, what?
And the prices are off the
chart. Off the chart, and they just made it, and it doesn't have that same taste, because since it has to be environmentally safe, to get a license to have a factory to have a, to make, so it's a different taste. But yet, I saw an incredible video of them demonstrating a state-of-the-art, brand new hand matzah factory in Lakewood. I was blown away. It's like you're living in a different universe. After you ever go to bake matzah, let's say Schatzer or these other places, the old-fashioned way, and you go watch how they make hand. There's no machine, not even one machine. Everything there is done by hand, but everything is stainless steel. Everything, and everything, the tools they use are designed in a way where they're able to clean it spotless after every run, and how the whole thing is set up. It was mind-boggling how efficient, how clean. These new state-of-the-art hand matzah factories are built today. The only chasaron is you're not going to get that taste that you're accustomed to, which can only come from a certain type of oven and a certain type of fuel, which is today basically illegal unless you've been grandfathered in by having this from 100 years ago or 70 years ago, whatever it is.
Well, whatever they're doing, ask your Rav Hamashia what you want to do. Because using metal on metal, according to some, produces heat.
Okay, I didn't know that. You're saying a chiddush. I didn't know that. So you're saying this may be worse. It's not as mehuda.
I'm not saying better or worse.
Everybody, I hear what you're saying. This demonstration, this video, everything was literally stainless steel. Everything. There wasn't a piece of wood in the whole factory. Everything was stainless steel from top to bottom in a very, very interesting way. Okay, everybody side. Let's look at that. Everybody side. Let's come back. When it comes to... Now, it's okay. When it comes to machine matzah, it used to be an issue of chametz, these massively large, cumbersome machines that broke and didn't operate and things got stuck in them. It was a nightmare. It was chametz deraisa. Today, that's over, long gone. Today, the machine matzahs are speckless, spotless, and perfect. There's nothing to worry about. What is the issue? The issue is lishma. It says in the pasuk, "Ushemartem es hamatzas." What does that mean? So it's shemartem means to guard. Is the word ushemartem mitzvahs asay or mitzvahs lois asay? What does it mean just to guard the matzahs? It means you're supposed to say l'shem matzahs mitzvah. Who says? Ushemartem es hamatzas means you stand there like a robot and you just make sure you are mashkiach. To make sure that the matzah does not turn into chametz. Your guardian. A guardian doesn't need to do anything to be active. You go to Buckingham Palace. What do the guards do the whole day? They do nothing. They just stand there and walk back and forth. They don't even smile, even if you try to make them smile. They don't do anything. There's no din. Whoever said there's a din, ushmartim, l'shem, matzah, is mitzvah, that it involves doing a maisa. The complaint against using machine matzah is that a machine cannot inject into a matzah lishma. When it comes to writing tefillin, when it comes to writing a sefer Torah, you need a lishma. A machine can't write for you a pair of tefillin. A robot cannot write a pair of tefillin because the actual ma'isik siva has the chosaf, uchasavta. You, a person, must do an act of ksiva. Pressing a button on a robot, and the robot writing the Sefer Torah, which they demonstrated, the robot can write a Sefer Torah with a quill and with DOI, artificial intelligence, they have a demonstration in one of these museums where they actually have a robot sitting with a quill and DOI and actually writing a Sefer Torah. Very nice. Uchasavta, that's not called ksiva. Oh, but I pushed the button, I made the robot, I did everything. Yeah, very nice, you did everything, but that's not called a mindset ksiva, that's not called... The end of the day, the one that's doing the writing is a machine. You cannot inject a lishma through a machine. That is the halacha. When it comes to matzah, whoever said that matzah needs lishma, all matzah needs is ushamartim es hamatzos. that the matzah shall be guarded, that they shall not become chametz. It's not a din of a positive, it's a negative. It's to make sure nothing else. Whoever said that the negative needs a lishma. When you're kneading the dough, l'shei matzois mitzvah. Whoever said that? The Torah says, you shall eat matzois. It doesn't say you shall make matzois. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that it's lo Pesach, you shall make for yourself matzois. It doesn't say that. You shall eat matzois. Go to the supermarket, buy matzois. Oh, who made the matzois? God made them. So God made the matzois. Oh, but maybe it's chametz? Oh, you got a problem. So you need a mashkiach. What's the mashkiach? Who shemartem? Can the guy be a mashkiach? Why not? Just make sure the guy's nirsas. Before he finds out that they put in some chametz, it's a problem. Who says the guy can't make the matzahs for you? Who says, why can't the guy make the matzahs for you? Halacha l'maisa, we don't allow it. Halacha l'maisa, we don't. The guy makes the matzahs, he's finished. Okay, we don't allow it. Is it pasul midaraisa? It's not so posh pshad that if it's pasul midaraisa, the matzah made by a guy. The din ushmartem. Ushmartem, you have to do the shemira. A yid, not a guy. And that means you But does that mean that you mamash have to make the matzah? Press a button and let the machine make the matzah. And you'll stand and you'll watch and you'll observe. Who says that cannot be the case? So most poskim, and I say most, say that machine matzah is A-OK. Come out all the big gedolei yisrael matzah. There's nothing wrong. No, tradition. Tradition. People like to have hand matzah. It's traditional. Ein hachanami. Kasha, halacha. So that say dinim is machine matzah. There's a din that it's be kosher, and there's a din that it should be named lishma. A machine cannot inject the lishma. Who says you need a machine to inject the lishma? The din of shmartim is just to make sure that it does not become chametz. A yid washing it does not become chametz is more than enough. Okay, so when you want to go the extra step, you want to actually do it by hand, you want it to be traditional. Tradition is tradition, that's one. Maybe some will tell you that tradition is more, by some people, tradition is more sacred than halacha. Okay, some hold that, what do we have left in Yadus today other than tradition? What do we got left in this world? Famous story I always tell when we have Shol Salanta, is that there was no kittel to say tal. So we told the Baal Tzvila, there's no kittel. The Baal Tzvila, we don't have a kittel. No, so we don't have a kittel, so we'll say tal. The Shaliach Tzibah will say tal without a kittel. So he says, how long will it take to go get a kittel? An hour. So go, we'll wait. We'll wait an hour to go get a kittel? What's wearing a kittel for the shliach tzibur? It's a minhag. So he said, what do we got left today? We don't have a beis hamikdash. We don't know anything. We don't know halacha. We don't know gemara. We come and we make believe. We know something. We even know chumash rashi today. Who wants to take a bechina right now on this parasha shavuot and chumash rashi? We know all we got left in Judaism today is Minhag Yisrael. It's kedai to wait an hour for the Shliach Tzibur to go home and get his kittel and come back. So when you tell a person, it's Lel Pesach, this is Yitzias Mitzrayim. You could have either hair matzah or you could have machine matzah. How did the Zayda make the matzah? Well, he already made it with the machine. How did the Elta Zayda make the matzah? Tradition. Okay, that's a very valid point. Others want to say, want to talk about lishma? Debatable if the din shmir needs lishma. You need a mice of a Jew to go and actually knead the dough and do every single part of the process. Debatable. Chametz, that's not an issue anymore. Today, any good hechsher, strites, and shevets, or the whole long list of companies today that have sprouted, these are all very kosher. So the kash is not really the issue of the lishma, fine. And let us say you want to be machmir. Is that even the geder, a minhag? No such thing. It's not a neder, it's not a minhag, it's not a takana, it's a very lightweight, chumrah. You want to take upon yourself a chumrah that you're not going to eat machine matzah, you're only going to have for the seder, you're going to have a hand matzah, and now you find yourself in a situation where you want to change. Do you need even to be matir neder? No. You don't even need to be matir neder. Not likely. Maybe some chumrah you should be matir neder, because it's not even in the geder of, when you need to be matir neder, that's because there's a halachic issue. there's an issue in halacha. We have rishonim that say one way, rishonim that say another way. The halacha, it's mutter, and you have accepted to take upon yourself a stringency. I'll give you an example. You go on the train, so you normally take the Q train. You know, today I don't want to take a train, and you get off at Atlantic Avenue, and then you take the 2 train or the 1 train, whatever. You know what? I've been doing this for 20 years. Today I decided instead of taking at Atlantic Avenue, getting off and taking the 2 train, I'm not going to get off at Atlantic. I'm going to go another 2 stops and take the F train somewhere else. Do I have to be matter neder? For 20 years, this is how I go to work. I go to work and I get off at Atlantic Avenue. Today, no. I want to get off at a different station and take a different train and then walk 2 blocks. Good fit, my health.
Was that Hanhagatova?
What?
Was it Hanhagatova?
Let's say it was a Hanhagatova, for whatever your Hanhagatova was. Today,
I
changed my mind. Oh, I can't do this anymore. I have to first call up the rabbi, get a bezdin, and we have to mataned. Ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's not something you need to be matir neder. Machine matzah. Do you need to be matir neder for the last 10 years, the last 20 years? I'm only eating hand matzah. And now I'm going to eat machine matzah this year. Do I need to be matir neder?
I know my gabbos, you don't.
Do you need to be matir neder? No. Why not? Because this, it's not even called, it's not even, it's, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not a chumrah. It's an inyan. It's an inyan. Let's make up that word. An inyan, a thing, the thing, that thing. Okay, it's an inyan. Are you matter neder because you want to go on a different train today and take an Uber today instead of taking the train? You matter neder, ridiculous. You have an inyan tradition. An inyan, you are. You want the dinner, you want an active ushmarta, you want to inject lishma. It's a beautiful thing. It's a multi. It's a multi.
What's the difference between a minhag and an inyan?
A minhag, okay, it's hard to do. I don't know, it's hard to do. When we come to gebrokst. Gebrokst is a minhag. A gebrokst, you talk a might need to be, you do need to be matir neder. It's not so posh, you don't need to be matir neder.
Till
not? It depends. Have Tony Goldstein? Or you have to ask Tony Goldstein. He's not here, obviously. But you have to. There are many different varieties of gebrokst. And many, many different gray areas in gebrokst. Okay, let's now go to gebrokst.
No, but lishma.
Gebrokst, yeah.
Why isn't the lishma at the beginning?
It's an inyan. It's not a halacha.
No, but you talked about lishma.
Yes.
You can have lishma with machine mind.
Right, you can.
Oh, okay. You made it sound like there's no lishma.
No, it's not the same. It's not the same lishma when you knead the dough with your bare hands and you put the dough in, you shape it, and you make
lishma
the holes.
Is a,
in the mind.
What does that do with you doing this?
When you press a button, you're not the one that's making the matzah. The machine's making the matzah. I press the button. That's not lishma. That's not pressing the button. L'shem matzah mitzvah. And you press the button. What?
Then I have a whole problem with lishma. Everything lishma is just what I'm saying, what I'm thinking.
You're right. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you.
You're making it what I'm doing?
When it's being done.
No one can tell you. There's no one that can say.
Because I'm there. What happens if I'm not there?
Let me ask you a question. Let's say if I press a button to instruct a robot to write for me a pair of tefillin, is that kosher? Is that kosher? No, let me ask you. It's not. Halachically, it's possible. Why? Why is it possible? It says uchasavtam. Uchasavtam. You have to write the tefillin. You must do it. A machine cannot do it. The word uchasavtam, Chazal's understanding of uchasavtam, it has to be made the shape tefillin. You can do, only you can do this. A machine cannot do this for you. It's possible. It's possible. Yeah. No such thing. What? There's no such thing as lishma by milk. There's no such thing of lishma by milk. That's exactly the point. It's a shmir just to make sure it's kosher. Exactly. So the question is, when it comes to matzah, we have a unique expression in the Torah. Ushamartem es hamatzos. The Torah demands you guard the matzah.
What? Yisrael is the same thing.
It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah Shmar to Mesach Cholov. It doesn't say. It says Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash. Go ahead, drink the milk. Gesund eat. There's no halacha anywhere. What? There's a concern that in the industry, it used to be years ago, this is a fact, no one's denying the fact, that go back 200 years, that they would mix milk that comes from a cow is expensive. Milk that comes from a pig is cheap, and it doesn't taste much of a difference. So it was very common in the industry, by the Goyim, they would dilute milk with pig milk. It was very common. Today, a painter. If you don't watch your painter, what does he do to you? Paint is expensive.
Let's bring him in.
Paint is very expensive. And what do? They dilute the paint with paint thinner. I myself, my parents, they are a painter, and I came home in the middle, they were painting the house, and I came home in the middle of the day, and the painter didn't realize I was right behind him, and he had a big bucket of paint thinner, and he was pouring it in to the paint as I walked and I was watching. So I said to him, what are you doing? That's what you do? You dilute the paint to such a degree? So, boishes gan of ki yimotze. That all the painters do this to a degree, but he really, he flipped out. He went berserk that I caught him. I didn't ask the question because I thought he was doing something illegal. I don't even know what the industry standard is. I always imagine you go to the store, you buy a bucket of paint. The paint that that's in the bucket, that's what you smear on the walls. Isn't that what you normally do? Right?
It's like they say about Kedem grape juice.
Yeah.
As much water they could have put in,
they put in already. Right? I always thought you buy a bucket of paint, you buy a Benjamin Moore paint, right? It comes a bucket of paint. I imagine on the commercials they show you buy a bucket of paint. And you go and you pour it into the thing and you take it and you put it on. I don't know. Is that what you talk to do? You go and paint. It costs $30, and then you go buy something for $2, and you pour it in from that one bucket. You're able to have basically 5 buckets of paint. So I caught him doing this. I didn't even know that you're not allowed to do this. That it's not the right thing to do. He went berserk. He started cursing me like you can't imagine. I got so scared, I ran out. And then. I don't know. He told my parents some Baba Mice. I didn't even know what was going on. I just happened to be in the wrong place. So that's what they did with milk. They did the same thing with milk. Milk is expensive. How do you make a parnasa? You dilute it with pig's milk. So this became a real, real problem. So what do? You need to have someone to guard the milk called Cholov Yisrael. There's no din of injecting L'shem Shamayim into the milk. Unheard of. The Torah says drink milk, gesund eat. Just the problem is that we live in a world where people are trying to make parnasa, and the way they make parnasa is through diluting kosher milk with pig milk. So you need to have Cholov Yisrael to make sure that you don't have these issues. In America, Rav Moshe says the FDA, they're not going to do it. So you can rely upon the goyim, they're not going to do it for their own interests. Whatever it is. There's no lishma whatsoever. Matzah, it's somewhere in the middle. The Torah does not say explicitly you have to make the matzah. Like it says by tefillin, you have to write the tefillin. It doesn't say that. But it does say that you have to guard it. Has to be guarded. What does it mean to guard it? Does it mean to guard it means ad kidei kach that you have to mamish make it l'shem matzah mitzvah? Really? Is that what it means? Mishmartem? Who says that's what it means? It's a nice thing. That's called an inyan. But technically you have to guard it. All it means is you have to be a mashkiach to make sure that it does not become chametz. As long as a Jew oversaw the process from beginning to does not become chametz, good enough. At what point in time do you have to guard it? Do you have to guard it from the moment you harvest it? Or it's enough to guard from the moment that you need it? You need the dough. Or do you need it to be guarded from the time that you grind the flour? There are 3 madregos. Nikar adim, it's enough to guard it from the time that you add the water. When you do the kneading, the moment you put water into the flour, that's where ushmartem es hamatzos. Some say no, you should have to go back from the moment when you grind it. Some say you have to guard from the moment when you actually harvest the grain. Look on the backs of matzahs. Whatever matzah you have, it will say on the backs of matzah, Shamur Mishas. Either it's going to say Kitzira, harvest, or techina, grinding. It's not going to say shalom mishas lisha because they're not going to sell it in the stores. Okay, they're not going to sell it in the stores, but it'll either say mishas techina or mishas kitzira. And even when it says that it's shalom mishas kitzira, I have no doubt in my mind there are different standards in industry of exactly what that really means.
Right.
What does that mean? They go, really? Someone's guarding from shots. You have a Jew standing there watching every single second? Really? Really? Or they go and you tell some farmer and you're sitting in the way, you're sitting in the store, you're sitting in some booth, and they're all the way out there in the field. You don't know what they're doing out there where they harvest the grain.
JJ comes out, you'll see the pictures of the Rebbe out in the field picking his
grain. The Rebbe, right, and even the Rebbe. Yeah, he hard cuts it, and then what does he do with it? He brings it into a warehouse, and who's watching the warehouse for 6 months? Who's guarding the warehouse for 6 months? No one ever goes in there.
Open, it's not cracking open.
No one goes into the warehouse. No, it doesn't leak. It doesn't rain. It doesn't this, doesn't that. Okay, all these things today, you know, everything today is ask some questions. It'll be very disturbed what goes on. Listen, you do what you can do, Vizel. Okay, so now here's the issue. So therefore, let's go. Okay, running out of time. Let's discuss now Gebrochst. Okay, we discussed Mishin Matzah. Mishin Matzah is an inyon, Vizehu. An inyon, it's a nice thing that it should be done by hand, L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. It's an inyon. It's not even a minhag. It's an inyon. Let's discuss Gebrochst. Let's discuss kidneys. Why are the people that are makhlo on kidneys? This is a real issue. It's not a joke. It's a real issue. But it's only a minhag. It used to be, in different parts of the world, the earth was not fertile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it still is. There are certain areas, I'm not familiar with all the details, cold regions, hot regions. Jews lived all over the world. And there are Jews that live in different parts, some parts of the world, especially the northern areas, Russia, and in parts of Poland, where it's a very cold environment, and the earth lacks nutrients and moisture that it really needs to produce a healthy crop. And because of this, they would not utilize the earth every single year. When you plant grain, wheat and barley, it's very intensive on the ground, on the earth. Grain sucks out of the earth all it got, all of its minerals, nutrients. There are minerals in the earth, in the soil. When you plant grain, the grain is very demanding. The chameshas minei dagon are in a class by themselves because they make very tough demands from the earth. If the earth has minerals, it will suck them out of the ground in order to produce a quality crop. If you do this too many years in a row, the earth goes on strike.
Right.
Because there's nothing to produce. If you suck out of the ground, you plant wheat 3 years in a row, the fourth year, the earth's not going to grow. Nothing's going to come because you've robbed it from every mashu of minerals and nutrients. So what do they do? They wait. So the best thing to do is just to let the land lie fallow. The Gemara talks about this all the time. Shemitahs, that's from the global perspective, whatever that means. But even time of Chazal, they didn't plan more than 2-3 years in a row.
They alternate.
No, they didn't. The best thing is to let the land lie fallow to rejuvenate. The earth heals itself. Now, sometimes, excuse me, we can't do that. We're going to starve. Can't let the land just do nothing a whole year to rejuvenate, to give it some time. You know what? We'll make a pshara. We'll plant something else. We'll plant rice. Rice is not so intensive. Oats is from the chamesh minim. Oats is from the chamesh minim. It is very intensive. We'll plant millet. We'll plant corn. I don't know all these things. They plant all these things that are in the category called beans, kidneys. These were products that it was common in certain regions of the world to plant in the off years. In the off years, when you must give the land time to rejuvenate, but you still need to have something to eat in these off years, you would still plant. Okay, what's the problem though? So they would plant, they would plant rice in the off year. And now it's time for the harvest. They harvest. Wonderful. They harvest the grain. and you bring the grain into the silo and you harvest the rice. Because the year before and the year before, on that very same piece of earth, you planted wheat. Right now you planted rice. This year you planted rice. And now I want, Pesach is coming, so I want to make some rice cakes for Pesach. Why not? Rice cakes is not chametz. It's not. Only thing that can become chametz is the chamesha sinei dogon. Rice is not from the chamesha sinei dogon. It's impossible for rice to ever become chametz. There's no reason why I can't have rice on Pesach. So gesund, hey, I plant rice. Here's the rice. Bring the rice into your home and make rice. Where do you get this rice? From the field. What did you plant on this field last year, on this very same field? Wheat! Oh, that means there's a real possibility that in this pot of raw rice, there might be a kernel of wheat. Because last year, on the field, you planted wheat, and the year before you planted wheat. This year you planted rice because you need to let the land lie fallow for a year, not to rob the land from its nutrients. So you planted rice and you harvest the rice. But because you've always been planting seeds, when you plant, you put seeds in the ground. Not every seed germinates. Not every seed takes. So it could be that when you harvested the rice, you inadvertently collected some of the seeds of wheat that you put here 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And now you take this whole collection, you pulverize it, and you add water, and you let it sit. And you don't realize there's a kernel of wheat which has been turned into flour, which is now sitting soaking in water for more than 18 minutes, and it's chametz d'oraisa. And chametz d'pesach is also a bit mashahu. You say it's bottled, not bottled. Lama li tzara hazas. So that is the main reason why Kihilois put out a cherem on rice and on other crops, other specific types of crops that were planted in the off years of fields which were used to produce, to grow wheat. And this explains everything.
But before you answer this in the bottle decision?
Yes. You're saying if the product was made before Yom Kippur, but sometimes those days they actually prepared the food on, they took the bucket of rice and they actually made it, they prepared it on Yom Kippur itself. Why not? Why can you make a dough of rice on Yom Kippur itself, it's not chametz. And then when you add the water and mix in the rice are seeds of wheat, you're making chametz on, it's not bottled.
Pesach. Nowadays everything is boxed.
So today this whole thing is totally not relevant for many reasons. Because today in the industry, the fields that they use to produce rice, they never, ever, ever plant wheat. We're going back 200 years ago in little shtetlach, where people had a little piece of land. And this year we're going to plant wheat. And after 2-3 years, we're not going to plant wheat, we're going to plant rice. Today that doesn't exist. Today everything is manufactured on a massive scale. And on a massive scale, the fields that they use to plant wheat, they'll never ever use to plant rice. And if you're getting rice, it never ever happened on that patch of land where they produce rice. Did anyone ever throw on that field kernels of wheat? It's not going to happen today. So the whole thing today is totally not relevant. Totally not relevant.
There's also another reason, not only the fields, the storehouses sometimes are used.
The storehouses, I didn't see that. Some of the same storehouses they used.
There was wheat kernels that were left in the storehouse. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Now this explains everything, because this explains why there are certain kihilos, svardim, where the svardim live, not where they live, they were never makabel the chumrah. You know why they never makabel the chumrah? Because where they live, they never did this. They never alternated. Those lands, those regions of the world, it was not necessary to let the land lie fallow. The quality of the land was so strong. Every year they planted wheat. They didn't do this whole shtick of after 2-3 years they alternate with kidneys, and then you have a concern that you may have in the harvest, you may have a mixture. In other lands of Ashkenaz, they did this. So when you trace, if you do a scientific, people have done this. If you do a scientific study, why is it that this kihila is bad? It's Pashat. Look where they came from. Look at the region of the world where they came from. Study how they produced grain. Where Ashkenazim came from, it was common for them to alternate. Some years on the patch of land they would plant rice or other types of products, which we call kidneys, and then you had this issue. And by the Svardim, where they lived, they never did this. It wasn't either necessary or they didn't do it, so they were never makav because the whole reason didn't apply to them. So this is one of the main reasons where it comes from. Now there are other reasons. There are other reasons because other reasons where it has to do with Yiddish. It also explains why Ashkenazim. There are certain, it's funny, certain types of kidneys were in Yiddish. It had the same name as, I'm not familiar with all the terminology, I can't give you examples, but there were certain types of kidneys that the way they would refer to in Yiddish was the way in Hebrew, or maybe another language, you would refer to a grain. So when you went to the store and you asked for rice in Yiddish, it's possible the storekeeper would give you grain, would give you wheat, because of the language. The language is where all the trouble came from, not alternating on the earth. The language, and maybe as you said, the storehouses sometimes, they weren't so nizer, things got mixed together, yeah?
128 years ago, basically, the church, they had a tish, Pesach, and they had slivovitz, which is blown whiskey, which is kosher Pesach. One of the Hasidim says, pass me the brofi. So
that's
hummus.
No more sliver. Because they get confused.
They won't say the word bread on this. Yeah. They won't say bake. They won't say, you go to hotels, give me a pizza, you have a little pizza. They won't say the word on this.
Because it leads to confusion, and in those, not everyone was so well educated in these matters, and one thing leads to another. Now here's the thing. There is no takon. It was never ever a it doesn't appear from what it says here in Rabbi Tezner. Never happened that it was a Bezdin that sat down, the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael of the generation, whatever it is, some rabbinic organization, the OU, the RCA, the National Council of Young Israel, the Board of Rabbis. No one ever sat down at a table and put on stationery, we as a Bezdin have issued a ban. No one should eat kidneys. Never. That never happened. It was something which people on their own started to do, realizing the danger of how it happened. There were stories where, what happened over here? So they decided on their own, next year we don't want the trouble, we're not going to do this because of the severity of the matter of eating chametz on Pesach. And therefore there are so many, it's only a minhag. And because it was only a minhag, there's enormous grounds for leniency regarding eating kidneys. For example, what about oils that come from kidneys? If the whole concern is the actual grain itself, the grain, rice, corn, I don't know, sesame seeds, all. So you're dealing with the grain, then there's a concern you're going to interchange a kernel of wheat with rice and corn, that can happen. But when you're dealing with oil, wheat does not produce oil. You've never seen this wheat oil. You never saw barley oil, oat oil, spelt oil. You ever hear of these things? I never heard of these things. Okay, you never heard of these things. But there's something called corn oil. There's something called sesame seed oil. There's something, the older, wait a minute, where did this oil come from? It came from kidneys. Oh, kidneys is awesome. Wait, kidneys is not awesome. Kidneys is mutl chathil. There was a minhag. People began to confuse. It was mixed together. They planted on the field rice in the same field they planted wheat. And there were some seeds that were left over from last year, 2 years ago, that did not sprout. So when they harvested the rice, they chopped some seeds. Oh, that's a chumrah. But to go tell me oil, you have corn and you produce oil. You're telling me I can't eat that because there's some mixture of chumrah. There's no mixture of chumrah in this. It's ridiculous. That's already excessive. That's excessive.
But they won the day. Yes.
Sometimes they didn't win this, sometimes they didn't win. What about, so there are people, I can't tell you, I don't know all the different minhagim. There are people that will not eat a kidney ice. But the oils? Nah, it's okay.
Corn syrup considered oil?
It's like, yes. peanut oil.
Peanut oil, right. Now what about kidney ice that never existed? We manufactured new things that we've invented. Quinoa. Quinoa is like about the turkey, right? You know, like, oh, a new grain. No one ever heard of. I don't know what's so great about it. It doesn't taste too great to me. I tried it once, but none of my business. What? Quinoa. Is quinoa kidney ice? So, originally, the only kidney ice was rice. Rice, there were three kidney ice originally. There was rice, millet, and corn. That was it. That's the original. The original flavors, only three flavors. Three kidney ice. So just because we banned rice, millet, and corn, what about potatoes? Why isn't a potato any different than rice? What's the difference?
It's not stored in the same way. It's
the Chayyadim Taka says, right?
Yeah.
That you don't that potatoes is kidney ice. It's just like.
Oh yeah.
The Chayyadim. Yeah.
I guess he was.
We pass him like the Chayyadim, except where it's Nogeya to Chayyadim. It's a famous vart.
Right.
It's a famous vart. Chayyadim holds that potatoes, if a kidney ice was a ban on anything other than the five grains. Anything. So therefore, even if there's no shaychus to the ikigzer, just loiplug. Potatoes, they grow out of the ground. They grow out of the ground. It's like a bean. It's not like cucumbers. This is something which is for kidney ice. It's not the five grains. It's something chadoshim labo, we never had. But potatoes is a new product, relatively speaking. So the Chayyadim posit that it's awesome. But if you're not going to eat potatoes on Pesach, what are you going to eat? This is before, you know, pomegranate. Before they had pomegranates walking there.
The Sephardim in their culture, they need rice like we need potatoes.
No, that's not the Sephardim. They didn't alternate their fields as Sephardim. It wasn't the whole thing wasn't together.
The land doesn't grow potatoes.
It doesn't even grow rice. Right? Doesn't right? But the Chayyadim paskin. It's the famous expression. We paskin like the Chayei Adam, except where it's nogea to Chayei Adam, to the life for survival. If you're not going to eat potatoes, you're not going to survive. So therefore we make it. Now therefore, because kidney ice is a very big, it's a minhag, it is not a takana, therefore there are extreme grounds for leniency. And that is, whoever says you have to ask for anything other than the original, corn, rice and millet. What about other grains, other things that grow in the ground? Not everyone was mekabel these things. What about things that didn't even exist in those times? Quinoa. Quinoa was a big hot debate. The OU. Will the OU allow quinoa in a kosher lePesach product? The end was they did not.
No.
They were machmir.
Really?
It was a business decision, clearly a business decision. I think Radolsky was matir. Radolsky told it was mutter. A lot of the decisions in the OU, they'll tell you themselves. They're not based on halacha. They have rabbanim. They have gedolei, Rabbi Belsky, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, Yibar Luchan, Toiv Maruchin, and they paskin la halacha. What is halacha? And then there are people in the OU that have to make popular business decisions.
Against the grain.
He went against the grain. If I'm not mistaken, quinoa, Rabelski held this is totally Muslim. There's no reason in the world to be machmir. If I'm not mistaken, but the OU, I think they vacillated. They had a different policy about one year, this year, that year, and then at the end, they decided, you know what? Forget it. Bugs in the water. You have to filter your water.
It grows like a sprout. It's not even anywhere near.
You're right. That's why there are many leniencies. And therefore, if a person wants to change his minhag, especially in the, let's say giving children. Can you buy for little children a product of kidney? You have little kids. You want treats. You want formula for babies. You want to go mishul. You want to go and be machmir for little children with kidney eyes.
It's a tremendous
chomer. Tyruvis. Let's say you have a product and it's not ben. Is it mutter? Many will hold that it's mutter. Let's say someone comes without you watching. He goes and he takes your pots and pans and he fills them up with corn oil, cottonseed oil, kosher Pesach. You have to cash the pots.
No,
you don't have to cash the pots. But you'll be surprised.
We didn't need the case.
Okay. Now, last case. We're out of time. Last case. Oh wow, it's late. Last case. What about matzah shiruya? Matzah shiruya from the three is the most common. Because matzah shiruya, what was the original problem? The original where it all started from is there were packets of flour. They didn't have such fancy oven. Not everyone had an industry standard oven. When they baked the matzah, people baked matzah in their own house. People did it in their backyard. It wasn't a big deal. You make matzah, so you have a little oven, and you go and you make your own matzah. Not everyone is such a gourmet chef and knows how to make the matzah with such precision. And it wasn't so uncommon when the people, they made the matzah, there was some flour that was captured in the pocket of the dough. And if you're going to take this matzah, and you're going to put it into your soup, and you're going to say a Dvar Torah, and the soup become cold 18 minutes later.
The Dvar Torah was too long.
And the Dvar Torah was too long. And you go into your soup, you could be eating chametz. Chametz also the mashu. The quality of matzah back in the day was not like it is today. People did not have shatza matzah. They didn't have stores to go to. They weren't willing to pay $40 a pound. So they made it themselves. And they made it themselves, they didn't do such a good job. And there were packets of flour in the matzah. And therefore there was a concern. There was a concern that there's flour floating around in the matzah, there's dust. You see sometimes, take out some matzah, there's like goldy matzah, there's like dust in the air. Flour dust. You know, like something you go with your wife makes challah, there's something with flour dust. Chametz also b'mashahu. People get nervous. People go crazy. We know what's going on this last 2 years. People go out of their mind over invisible things. When there's dust in the air, this is chametz. Now it gets solidified with water. Ah, don't go put this into the soup. Water. So the chachamim, it's not clear exactly who, when, where, what, but the mesoris, there was a takana. And this is much more serious. There was a takana. Matzah shiruya is awesome. It's not awesome midaraisa. The world doesn't come to an end.
It's
awesome. It's awesome. A siyah, but it was a takana. Therefore, if a person's if his whole life is not to eat matzah shiruya, and now for whatever the reason for shalom bayis, he's going to eat matzah shiruya, he needs to be matir neder. It's a serious business because this is a takana, and it's a takana based upon chometz gomor. We're dealing with something that's very serious.
But isn't that the grubs when you take your matzah and you put it in its matzah shiruya?
Right, yes. As I said, anytime you take matzah and you mix it with water, that is a minig, this is what it says, the minig matzah, you go on matzah meal. I'm assuming that the minig is true. There's a minig, this is not matzah. Matzah meal cannot look like flour. I'm not into the food, what goes on. But supposedly, I always noticed at home, my mother had matzah meal. Is what is this? This is not flour. This is like some type of rough material. Why is it rough? You can take matzah and you can pulverize it to such a degree where it looks like flour. And you can sift it to get any black stuff. You can literally make matzah look like flour. We have technology that could very easily have matzah, you put it in a machine and it will produce for you what looks like mamish flour. It's not going to taste like flour 100%, but it will look like flour, and when you make a product, it will be pretty, pretty good. There's a minhag that it's osur to do that. It is osur to do that. Because if you do that, someone who doesn't know it will see, oh, you got flour. Oh, Pesach, you're allowed to have flour. Indistinguishable. That is why, supposedly, when you go to the store and you buy matzah meal, you're not going to find matzah meal that looks like flour. It's going to be rough. It's going to look like, you know, it's going to look like a little clumpy a little bit. because the minhag is, it's an extension of matzah shiruya. Even those, even the people today who are not nizer and matzah shiruya, everyone is affected by matzah shiruya. Satakon is bezdin. Everyone is affected, even those that are not nizer in matzah shiruya, like many of us, but there are gedarim. And one of the gedarim was, you don't make matzah meal look like flour. Matzah meal has to
be... Because
potato starch also look like yes. Flour. Okay. Okay,
but potato starch.
So this is a takana. Memela, this is much more, it's interesting. It's more chomor and it's more kal. How's it more kal? Acharon shel Pesach, the minig is, you're not nizer in this. Matzah shruya is mutter. Why is it mutter? But gebrokst? If you don't, what about kidney ice? If you don't need kidney ice on Pesach, you don't need kidney ice acharon shel Pesach. There's no heter to eat kidney ice acharon shel Pesach. It's counterintuitive. Kidney ice is only a minhag. So you should be allowed, so therefore it's only a minhag, it's lightweight, you should be permitted to eat it on acharon shel Pesach. Matzah shiruya is a takonas bezdin. So you should be also to eat an acharon shel Pesach. Count hagufa. It exactly goes to prove the point.
Because
something which is a takana, when the iser is defined by bezdin, it's when something is defined that it's defined only for Pesach. It's now acharon shel Pesach sveika d'yoma minhag avasein lebiyodenu. The takana did not go that far. A minhag is an open ended. It doesn't have osnayim. It doesn't have handles. It's a minhag. It's a custom. A custom.
You also play with it with a following. Because that was a minhag. I ate an acharon shel Pesach. Okay, not a problem. You know this is a takana. You know you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed,
we're
right?
We're going to do it, but we know it comes next year. We're not.
These three things are, to me at least, it's very kedai to appreciate these three concepts. And it opens up a world of commentary of when you're not doing something, why not? Why not? Is it because it's asa midaraisa? Oh, okay. Is it asa midrabanan? Some chazal asa chizik l'divrein yoyse mishal toyer. And then there are takonis of Rabban. Now, don't confuse this takonah with the takonah from the time of the Goyim. No, we're not dealing with the takonah from the Goyim. We're dealing with a later takonah. But it was a takonah. And then you have Minhoge Yisrael. And then you have Inyone Yisrael. Inyonin. Mishin Matzah is an Inyon. It's not a Minhog. It's not a takonah. It's not a halacha. It's an Inyon. It's an Inyon. What?
There's another level below
that. What's the level?
Shtus.
Okay, there is an inyan. You want to eat, don't eat machine matzah. Gesunte, hey, don't eat machine matzah. You want to be traditional? All right, it's a wonderful thing. But machine matzah is kosher. No one can tell you machine matzah today. The main objections were primarily because of chametz. Lishma, ushmartim es hamatzos. You know, you're dealing with fine hairs. It's an inyan. Matzah. A kidney ice is a minhag. It's a minhag. The minhag took on a life of its own. And the truth is, not everyone was makabel the minhag, and even those who were makabel the minhag, there were many gedarim, taruvis, oils, new grains that never existed, quinoa, and kashrin, kalin. But it's a minhag. A minhag is open-ended. If you don't need it, you don't need it even on Shemini Yishol Pesach. And then there was a takana of a shayla, of a chash, a siyog, of eating chometz mamish on Pesach because people made their own matzah in their own kitchen and not everyone is an expert. And it happens, there's flour lying around and a taka can be a real issue. The bezin stepped in and said, you know, we don't want you eating matzah shiruya. We don't want it. Was everyone makabel it? No, for some people it was a gezerish and revat sibi yichodim lamoid ba. What else are we going to eat? We need something to eat on Pesach. We need, so that, but it was those that were makabel in takana. So dovachomor, takana. You need to be mataneda if you want to change your minute. Who says you need a lot of mataneda for this type of thing? And because it's there are gedorim, when it's osir, it's osir, and when it's mutter, it's mutter. There is no takana, acharon shel Pesach. Acharon shel Pesach, ma'asa shui is mutter. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I'm here.